something for the weekend on Saturday. How are you? We have a very happy lady on the line, Siobhan McGowan, and I'm sure you're delighted, Siobhan, because your book is finally here.
Exactly, and it's taken an awful long time, Trina. You know, I've wanted to write since I was a little girl when I had a vision of my book on the shelf with my name on the spine, and I have always wanted to do it. So, you know, so it actually is. It's a dream come true, really.
Yeah. What made you do it now, though? Was it COVID or something like that? You had a bit of time.
No. God, I've been writing for years. I've been trying to write. I've been writing novels for years, maybe 15 years. It took a long time. I had a children's novel, Etten's Dream, a mythological drama, and that got serialised in a newspaper, local newspaper. And I worked with Marianne Gunn O'Connor, who was an agent. She helped me with that, but I didn't get published. And then it went on to an adult novel, and that got me an agent in London. But we put it out on subs to publishers, and that didn't make it either. So it's learning the craft all the time, honing the craft.
Yeah.
And this last story, The Trial of Lotta Ray, is the one that got me my agent, my next agent in London, and finally the publishing deal.
Good woman, good woman. So tell us all about it.
So it's the story of Lotta Ray, a young woman from the Spitalfields, East End area of London, who works at the Whitbread Brewery on Chiswell Street. And it's there that she meets her nemesis, there that she meets Henry Allen Griffiths, who is the man that is actually going to attack her. She's a working class woman, but her father is a man who seriously believes in justice, and so does Lotta. And there's so much talk in London about it that Fleet Street is going to break the story, that the powers that be decide that they do have to prosecute. But then they bring in to prosecute Henry Allen Griffiths, the barrister William Linden. And William Linden is going to prove to be as much of a nemesis, an enemy to Lotta, as the man who attacked her. And the story will tell you why. But it starts actually with William Linden, who is now a judge 12 years after the trial, leaving his house for what seems to be the last time and going to the carriage to find Lotta Ray waiting for him.
Oh.
And they are travelling to an appointment that's undisclosed, and they are as much on a trial as each other. Like, she is putting William Linden on trial for what she believes he did her wrong, but he is putting her on trial for carrying out what he believes is a great deception.
Okay, interesting. This sounds like something that would make a great TV adaptation as well. Would you like that?
Yeah, it's got a lot of plot in it. And the setting, I suppose, it's historical. We should say it's set at the turn of the 20th century. So it's turn of the 20th century London. So it would have a lot of atmosphere historically as well, I think.
And Siobhan, you'll have to explain the accent. The McGowans, of course, you're Shane McGowan's sister, but I can never figure this out. So did you live in Ireland and then you moved to the UK and then you moved back, or what is it?
No, we actually were born in the UK, both of us. But what happened was we just used to come over here all the time. I mean, Mum and Dad instilled in us a real sense of Irishness. So we were very much aware of all our Irishness. Dad was playing all the rebel songs and records and reading all the Irish writers. And so we, like many second generation Irish kids, we came over during all our holidays. But then later on, both of us moved back. So I moved here in 88, actually. So I've been here a long time now.
Mm.
And Shane moved back shortly after that. We've both been living in Ireland an awful long time now.
Isn't it funny how you get drawn back to where the family were originally from?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I mean, for some reason, it really did affect both me and Shane. That we seem to be very attached to the roots of our mother and father and the roots of Ireland. I mean, I know not every second generation Irish person moves back, but we did. I always knew I would. I always said I would. And Shane always knew he would as well. So, something in us just wanted to come home here.
Do you find, though, sometimes there's better opportunities outside of Ireland when you're in the business that you're in?
Not so much with writing, because, you know, nowadays, I probably in the past, but nowadays with all the technology, I mean, you can send off a manuscript with it 2 seconds on email. I mean, in the past, you'd be sending out pages, 400 pages, ream-type pages, and trying to get somebody to read it over in London. But now with all this new technology, I mean, isn't it the same for everybody that people are finding they can work from pretty much anywhere now?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I could go to Brazil now and probably still do the same thing.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Lying on a beach, typing away.
Yeah.
In the sunshine. Yeah.
In the sunshine with sangria.
That's it, yeah. Have you been to many places around the world, Siobhan? Have you travelled much around the world?
Oh, God, yeah, I really have. Most of the travel I did was actually with Van Morrison. I worked with Van Morrison as his assistant for 2 years, and he first took me to America, and we went to California, which was a real dream of mine because I was into all the hippie kind of culture.
Yeah.
And I was also into all the civil rights activism and all that kind of thing. And so it was lovely. It was fantastic to be travelling in San Francisco and Los Angeles with him, and he had actually lived there and played there during the 60s. So I was with, one of the real people of the time. So I travelled there, and I travelled all over Europe with him and the Pogues. I travelled with both of them over Europe. So I've done quite a bit of travelling.
I'd say that was such an experience. Like, what did you have to do as an assistant for Van Morrison? What did that job entail?
Well, it was very full-on job. Like, it was nearly 24/7. Like, you'd get up very early because you'd have breakfast very early. I'd have to go with him. You know, I have to sort out the restaurant where he's going to eat. I have to sort out where he's going to sit. I have to sort out what food he's going to have later. I have to sort out the guest list. I have to sort out the after-show party. I have to make sure everything's going okay for him, and that he's not being hassled. And I'd probably get to bed about 2 o'clock in the morning. You
just
get a few hours sleep and you're up again. So the thing is, you have to be quite young to do it. When I did it, I was in my late 20s. But there's absolutely no way. You would have to be young and you'd have to be quite fit. You just couldn't keep up that pace. You know, it's pretty full on.
Yeah, I can imagine. And always being ready. Almost like, you know, the devil wears Prada. The bell rings.
Yeah,
get
exactly.
me this, get me that. Was that the same then when you were with the Pogues, or was it a bit more laid back because you were part of the family?
No, that would be more laid back. I mean, they wouldn't really be like that. I mean, Van is a man with a huge work ethic, you see. So Van will get up early, like a normal job, 7 o'clock in the morning, and he wants his breakfast with the Pogues. You know, they're probably going to bed at 7 o'clock in the morning, and you know, and getting up, trying to get up for the sound check in the evening, like, you know. So it was a lot more laid back on the Pogues tours, but Van's very much a workaholic.
That's gas. So with the Pogues tour, then you basically worked at night and did nothing during the day because they were all sleeping away.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. They were kind of sleeping away. So didn't do too much during the day, no.
Do you know what's funny, Siobhan? Fairy Tale of New York was the final song we played at my wedding. But get this, I got married in August. So you can imagine everybody's saying, you're playing Fairy Tale in New York, but it's August. You're like, but sure, it's such an iconic song. Why not? Why not in the middle of summer?
Well, you know, that's it. You could choose whatever you want at your wedding. If that's what you want, that's what you get.
That's it. And come here to me. I know you took part in Croc of Gold in 2020 there, which was, you know, Johnny Depp's. Any thoughts on what's going on in America?
Well, my actual thought on it is that each person must be given the right to be heard. I do believe that men, and we know that men, can be victims of domestic abuse. And the thing is, Amber Heard has actually admitted on tape and on video that she does and did hit Johnny. That's the truth. I mean, but yet in court, she says she didn't, but it's there on record.
Mm.
So I do believe that she did. That's my belief. It's only an opinion. Men can be as much a victim of that as women. I know it's generally women. I understand that, but there is also the case for men as well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think there's been a lot of lies told by a certain person, and I gather that you're probably on the same side as I am on this one.
Yes.
But we'll wait and see what happens. Very interesting times. How's Shane doing, Siobhan?
Yeah, well, he's doing. I saw him last night actually, and we had a good laugh. And he was out at dinner. We had a good laugh. And now the thing is, obviously he's not very mobile. That's the trouble. He broke his pelvis about maybe seven years ago, and he had to stay completely still, lie completely still for 8 months.
Mm.
And unfortunately, he lost the muscle mass in his legs, and he has never recovered that. So what he has to do now is he has to do plenty of physiotherapy and just keep trying to get himself stable enough to walk again. Mm-hmm. So that's where he's at physically, but emotionally he's in a good place. And before lockdown, he was doing some recording and writing. That the lockdown put a scupper on it, but I think he's got quite a bit of new material and it is hoping to get that recorded.
Yeah, because he's such a storyteller, really, isn't he? Is the voice still there, or how's the voice?
No, the voice is still there, surprisingly, because, you know, often when you don't use it, it does get quite a bit weaker. But for some reason he doesn't seem to have lost the power in the voice, you know. I suppose it's quite a gravelly voice he has, you know. So I suppose if you were talking about a kind of trained soprano or something, probably. But he has the gravelly, gritty voice, you know. So he's still got it, which is good.
So there's a real kind of group of Irish musicians that are all pals, isn't there? I'd say he sees them all the time, and you probably would have been part of that as well, going on the tours and everything. Great times. Will you do a book on that, do you think? Because there must be some great stories.
Yeah, probably do a memoir eventually, I think. Yeah. I very much am a lover of language and words and poetry, and I want to do my fiction and writing first, but later on I think I could possibly do a memoir of everything that occurred.
Stories. Yeah. But Siobhan, it's been a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your day. The book is called The Trial of Lotta Ray. It is out now. I saw a lovely video you did there for Eason's website as well. So have a look. It sounds great, and you never know, could be on the telly as well. Thanks so much for your time, Siobhan.
Thank you. Thanks a million, Teresa.
See you soon. It is Something for the Weekend and Ireland's Classic Hits.